Welcome to another broadcast of Studying the Scriptures. I'm your host, Dr. Todd Baker, director of Berit Hadashah Ministries in Dallas, Texas. Well, we continue our sterling study of the marvelous Messiah. The Messiah is, without doubt, the central person of the Word of God. From Genesis to the last book of the New Testament, Revelation, we find Him frequently revealed throughout Scripture. And we have been focusing on one certain part of Messianic prophecy, prophecies about the Messiah, and that would be prophecies concerning His ancestry. Prophecies concerning His ancestry. And we have seen thus far that the Messiah would be human. The first prophecy about Messiah found in Genesis, specifically Genesis 3:15, tells us that He would be the seed of the woman. And in that prophecy, when God says the seed of the woman will come and He will deal a mortal blow to the enemy of God and mankind, Satan, He calls him the seed of the woman. And there, right there, with that prophecy, God eliminated half of the human race as the immediate parent of Messiah. And not only that, but implied in this seed of the woman prophecy, human fatherhood for the Messiah is also eliminated because He would be possessed as the seed of the woman. He would come from the woman alone. And with that, we have the virgin birth implied. Needless to say, God eliminated half of the human race as the immediate parent of the Messiah. And at the same time, made it clear Messiah would come as a man, not as an angel. And then we have another prophecy concerning Messiah's ancestry, given in Genesis 9:26-27. There we discover that Messiah would be the descendant of Shem. One of the three, Shem was one of the three sons of Noah. And in this prophecy about Messiah being a descendant of Shem, God now eliminates two-thirds of the nation by indicating that Messiah must come through Shem, not Ham or Japheth, the other two sons of Noah, but through Shem. And so in the very beginning of the history of the nations, of which Noah's three sons would be the fountainheads, God would bring the blessing of Messiah through Shem. And so Noah, prophesying about this, identified himself with Shem in a special way. God, through his prophet Noah, identified himself with Shem in a special and salutary way. And that is in Genesis 9:26-27. Noah prophesies this about Shem. Blessed be the God of Shem, and may Canaan be his servant. May God enlarge Jephthah, and may he dwell in the tents of Shem. So here we have the fact that Messiah would descend from Shem. Shem was one of Noah's sons who covered Noah's nakedness when Noah inadvertently drank too much wine. You remember the story. And because of his drunkenness, he was exposed. And Ham, the father of Canaan, made sport of this, and Shem took control of the situation and went backward into the tent of his father Noah and covered his nakedness to stop this shame. And so Noah awoke, and by the Spirit of God, he prophesied the general fate of each of his sons. And he said that Shem would enlarge Japheth, and at the same time, he, meaning God, would dwell in the tents of Shem, personally dwell. And as we look forward into time, many millennia after, we know that Jesus was born of Shem. He was a descendant of Shem. Luke 3:36. First we have the prophecy, blessed be the Lord God of Shem, who will dwell in his tents. Then the fulfillment. Luke 3:36, Jesus was the descendant or the son of Shem. Jesus was born a Jew. And what a illustrious Jewish ancestry was his, who came not only as the glory of his people Israel, but also as a light to lighten the Gentiles. And then we have the generations of Shem described in Genesis 11:10 through 26. And they stretch from Shem to Abraham, covering 10 generations, that is some 427 years. Shem, if you do the math in these chronologies given in Genesis, Shem lived from 98 years before the flood until 502 after the flood, which then means he lived 75 years after Abraham entered Canaan. Going back to Genesis 6, we are told that Noah had three sons. They were Shem, Ham, and Japheth. And these three sons became the primogenitors, or the founding fathers, of the new nations after the flood. And so, God eliminates, as I said earlier, two-thirds of the nations when he indicates that the Messiah must come from Shem, not Ham or Japheth. It was from Shem also later on that the Jews sprang through Abraham, as we shall shortly see. The word Semite comes from Shem. Jews are Shemites. Arabs are also Semites or Shemites too, because they both come from Abraham's lineage. So to be Semitic would then be to be considered a descendant of Shem. Now let's look at Genesis 9, 26 and 27 more closely. Blessed be the Lord, the God of Shem, Noah says here in Genesis 9, 26. And then in the following verse, may God enlarge Jephthah and may he dwell in the tents of Shem. Now, in verse 27, I would have you know that there is no word answering to the word or the third person singular masculine pronoun, he. There is no word in that verse, he. That is simply inserted in the authorized version. And so, since he is not originally found in the Hebrew text of Genesis 9:27, the verse should actually read, God will enlarge Japheth and will dwell in the tents of Shem. So it's saying here that God will bless Shem, and God will personally dwell in the tents of Shem. The rabbis have an interesting take on this verse. The Chaldee of Onkelos paraphrases the verse like this: God will make his glory to dwell in the tabernacles of Shem. Tabernacled. In other words, God would personally come through the tribal lineage used by the metaphor of tents or tabernacles will come through the tribal lineage of Shem. Isn't that exactly what we have fulfilled by Yeshua in John's Gospel when he tells us the Word became flesh and dwelt among us? And this even has more significant bearing when we have discovered, according to Luke 3:36, that Jesus is the descendant of Shem. So the final fulfillment of this prediction occurred with the incarnation of God, the eternal Word, through Jesus of Nazareth, the descendant of Shem. Genesis 9, 26 and 27 was fulfilled when Jesus, the eternal Word, was made flesh and tabernacled among men, having been born of a Jewish woman. And mankind beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father. The name Shem means also in Hebrew, name. In fact, Jews will refer to God by the Hebrew phrase Hashem, which means the name. Shem is another name for the Lord. So the prophecy that Yahweh would be specifically the God of Shem was fulfilled when God, the blessed God who would bless Shem, this was fulfilled in the choice of Abraham and of Israel, his descendants, as God's chosen people. Shem is called the father of all the children of Eber. This word Eber is the term for Hebrews. Hebrews, which is derived from Eber, according to Genesis 10, 21 and Numbers 24, 24. And so Abraham would be, Shem would be the father of the Hebrew race, and they would be called by his name Semites. The Greek word for Shem is Sem, S-E-M, from which we have the word Semites. So to be anti-Semitic is to be opposed to the Jews. Anti-Semitism is a historical phenomenon that also means hatred for the Jews. So the Messiah would come through Shem. And then we trace these seed prophecies of the Messiah or prophecies of his ancestry. We began with the seed of the woman, then which eliminated half of the human race. Then 2/3 of the nation were further eliminated by God when He foretold in Genesis 9, 26 and 27 that Messiah must come through Shem. Next, the descendant of Shem that Messiah would also come from would be Avram. Later, his name was to be changed to Avram, who we would call Abraham. The Messiah would be the descendant of Abraham through his earlier ancestor Shem, who came from Eve's lineage. All of the hundreds of the nations of the world were further eliminated now, except for one nation. The new nation started supernaturally, brought into existence by God, occurred when He, the Sovereign Lord, called Abraham from Ur of the Chaldees. So with this choice of Abraham, who would be an ancestor of the Messiah, the God of history now divides the nations into two basic groups, Jew and Gentile. And in the present church age, humanity is further divided into three groups, Jews, Gentiles, and the Church of God. But back when God chose Abraham to be the primary ancestor of the Messiah, with that choice history. And mankind was divided into two groups, Jew and Gentile. And from that, he sets apart, separates one small nation, the Jewish nation, so that the Messiah might come through him. This began in Genesis 12, 1 through 3. And God, and Genesis 17, 1 through 8, Genesis 15, 19. God says in these passages when calling forth Abraham, "Now the Lord had said to Abram, get out of your country unto a land that I will show you, and I will make you a great nation, and I will bless you, and you shall be a blessing, and in all of the families, and in you all of the families of the earth shall be blessed. Unto your seed will I give this land," that would be the land of Israel. And then in Genesis 22, 16 through 18, the Lord further told Abraham, "By myself I have sworn, says the Lord, that in blessing I will bless you, and in your seed all the nations of the earth shall be blessed." Matthew begins his genealogy with this introduction. The book of the generation of Jesus the Messiah, the son of David, the son of Abraham. Matthew 1:1. It would be through this privileged people, the Jewish people, that God gave a land, a prophecy, that he would make the Jewish people, through their founding father Abraham, a great nation, and through them bless all the nations of the earth. And so here we have one of the greatest acts of history, which stretches down to time and encompasses all of eternity. And it goes back 1,500 years before the birth of Jesus, in which the inspired writer of Scripture, Moses, hazards multiple predictions that God would bless Abraham, make him a blessing, give him the land of Canaan, and bless the world through him and his seed. And through Abraham, a great nation was born, created, and given a land of their own for one purpose, to bring the blessing of salvation through Abraham's single descendant, so that all the world could be blessed with this. The prediction is literal and historical. It has been recorded in the book of Genesis for thousands of years. Its fulfillment is a miracle that continues throughout history and is as definite and complete as the original prophecy. For God did make of Abraham a great nation, the Jewish people, the nation of Israel, giving them the land of Canaan under the conquest of Joshua. But in due time, this descendant of Abraham, the Messiah, came to them, and the world has been blessed immeasurably through Abraham's seed, which is Jesus Christ. As Paul records the fulfillment of this in Galatians 3, Paul says, "Now to Abraham and his seed were the promises made. He says, not and to seeds as of many, but as of one, and to your seed, which is Christ." Genesis 22, God told Abraham, because of his obedience, to take Isaac, be willing to sacrifice him, God tested Abraham. And because Abraham expressed unconditional obedience to the will of God, God finally assures Abraham that what he promised him years ago, that he and his descendants, culminating in one final descendant, and that through him, through this seed from Abraham, all the nations of the world would be blessed. God says, for your obedience, because you have obeyed, in your seed all the nations of the earth shall be blessed. Genesis 22:18. Really, Genesis 22, along with many other passages, specifically deals with the Abrahamic covenant. This is the promise of the blessing of the seed. The context in which that blessing is given under the covenant God made with Abraham, called the Abrahamic covenant. Notice here the term seed in the Hebrew text is always used in the singular, but it's used in two different ways. It can be used as an absolute singular, meaning one individual person, or as a collective singular denoting a group of people. And so context will determine which meaning for seed is given. For instance, within the context of the Abrahamic covenant, when seed is used in its collective sense, it always refers to the nation of Israel. For instance, when God told Abraham, your seed shall be as the stars and the sand, he is referring there to the group of people collectively called seed, the Jewish people. When seed is used as an absolute singular, it refers to one specific individual, and that would be the Messiah. For instance, when Paul, and I quoted this, says in Galatians 3:16, now the promises were spoken to Abraham and to his seed. He does not say unto seeds as referring to many, but rather to one, and to your seed, that is Christ. Here Paul is quoting, by the way, Genesis 22:18, underscoring the absolute singular nature of seed and applying it to Jesus of Nazareth. And so in Genesis 3:15 we learn that the Messiah would be the seed of the woman. In other words, he would be human. Now, within the context of the Abrahamic covenant, this is narrowed to Messiah being a descendant of one particular people and nation, a descendant of Abraham. Thus, the Messiah would be a Jew. And don't forget that the second point in this prophecy about the Messiah coming from the lineage of Abraham is that his coming would bring a great blessing to the Gentile nations. When you look at the book of Genesis, there are altogether six different passages that pertain to the Abrahamic covenant. They are found in Genesis 12:1-3, verse 7, Genesis 13:14-17, Genesis 15:1-21, Genesis 17:1-21, and Genesis 22:15-18. And a cursory review of these passages shows that there is a total of, according to Dr. Arnold Fruchtenbaum, 14 specific provisions within this covenant. But you can reduce these 14 specific provisions under three basic blessings the Lord would convey to Abraham and his descendants. And that would be the land, the seed, and the blessing. The land aspect is further developed in Scripture by the land covenant. The seed aspect is developed further by the Davidic covenant, and the blessing aspect is further developed by the new covenant. Now, when you go to the Gospel of Matthew, he emphasizes how that Jesus was a son of Abraham. That's because, in the genealogies of Matthew, I should say, in Matthew chapter 1, that is because Matthew's gospel deals principally with Messiah's relation to Israel and Abraham, who is the head of the Israelite race. And since Abraham came from the Ur of the Chaldees, though originally a Gentile, he became the first to be a Hebrew according to Genesis 14:13, which designation means one who has passed over or beyond the river. Eber means one who has crossed over. And I think this fact shows us at the same time that Jews and Hebrews are synonymous. If you are a Jew, you are a Hebrew. And if you are a Hebrew, you are a Jew. There are some today who are teaching a subtle form of replacement theology, that is, that God has replaced the Jews either by the church or the Gentile nations. They teach that only those Jews who have descended from the tribe of Judah are Jews, and the rest, the other tribes of Israel, have been assimilated into the Gentile nations, and they are now Gentile. And this is historically false. But we see here that Abraham was not only the first Hebrew and the first Jew, but as being such, he is the founder of the Jewish people who are considered Hebrew. And so we see how these seed prophecies of Messiah from the woman now narrowed down to Shem, further narrowed down to Abraham, how in these prophecies, these few prophecies, God was virtually making it impossible for them to be fulfilled later by man's contrivance or by the illusion of coincidence. Because in God's universe there are no coincidences. He controls everything, even the very last molecule. And so these prophecies show His guiding hand, that what He promises, He fulfills through the events of history which are under His sovereign control and planning. Well, these seed prophecies don't stop with Messiah being the descendant of Abraham, but through Abraham's sons, God further narrows down the ancestry of Messiah. And we will look at those next time. Until then, let me just say that we are headed back to Israel again. This ministry is committed to going to Israel on a continual basis to take the gospel of their Messiah back to them, the gospel of Jesus of Nazareth. We need your prayers, and also we need your financial support to undertake this vital end-time gospel ministry to the chosen people. Anybody who has a basic understanding of Israel's role in Bible prophecy will know that with their restoration back into the land of Israel some 62 years ago, that was a major fulfillment, signaling that we are living at the end of days and that the Messiah's return is at the door. So we need your help. Please think about supporting us financially on a regular basis, and all donations, of course, are tax deductible as you give to this 501(c) nonprofit ministry. Well, until next time, Shalom, Yeshua HaMashiach. May the peace of Jesus the Messiah be with you. Amen.